Mini episode 1857 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Sportsology, delivering unconventional columns and webcasts about sports, TV, music, movies, and more. Follow them on the web at sportsology.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the FDH Lounge 2025 AFC East Preview. You have with you here today FDH Lounge original dignitaries Rick Morris and Chris Galloway. We're going through all the divisions in the NFL here for our preseason preview. We usually start with the AFC East. We're mixing it up a little bit this year. We went NFC East first, so that's where we have our macro-level discussion, a little bit of talk about the offseason that the league had, any kind of macro level notes. Everything else here, it's just division by division. We're focusing just on that. And if we mention other divisions, it's just, you know, to make a point of comparison or some kind of note to the core teams that we're talking about here. So today it's the AFC East. The format for this, borrowed as always from Fantasy Football Draftology 2025, available on the main page at fantasydrafthelp.com. Specifically, go to page 17, and it's one run-on sentence for each AFC team. Today it's the AFC East. Here's what we have, and this is in predicted order of finish by me. Buffalo, the team rebuild on the fly in 2024, but got no further than in past years, but is potentially ready to go further if they have enough reliable explosiveness in the receiver core. New England, the stealth playoff contender that nobody sees coming. The Pats have rebuilt their roster from the ruins of the end of the Belichick era. New York Jets. If Justin Fields can be salvaged, and that's a good-sized if, then the Jets have a roster that's more than capable of making a playoff run. Miami. The continued deterioration of a Stars and Scrubs roster leaves Mike McDaniel unfairly exposed to job scrutiny when the front office should actually be on the clock. So if the firechrisgreer.com domain is still available, you may want to jump on that. And by the way, and I take no pleasure in saying this, as somebody who roots for the Dolphins, I got them going 4-13 this year. I think it's just going to be a plummet. And I've said this about teams in past years where people haven't necessarily seen it, like the Raiders last year and some other times. So I haven't always been right, but there have been times where I have been right that a team is just going to plummet like that. And rarely, Chris, have I taken less pleasure in saying that than I do this one, but I can only go by what I see. Stars and scrubs, and it's more scrubs and less stars year by year.
It sure is, and I, you know, that roster has gone backwards with the Dolphins, and I have them finishing third in the division, but I have the, you know, like you, I have the Bills. I then have the Patriots, Dolphins, and then Jets in the rear. You know, it's tough because I like a lot of the Jets roster.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I just continue to not believe in Justin Fields. I don't see it. A lot of people say, I can't believe Pittsburgh let him go. And I'm like, he can't accurately throw a football. At least he doesn't seem he can. I don't know why year after year people think Justin Fields is suddenly going to figure it out. So I'm out on him, and Mike McDaniel's a good coach, but that roster is just going backwards fast.
To borrow a line from my friend Don Peterson, it's doo-doo sticks.
Yeah, and it's I also worry about the locker room culture with Miami, and if things go south early, I could see that team spiraling.
Yes.
And getting away from McDaniel. I think the chemistry could be a problem. Now, the fun parts of that division.
Yes.
You know, the Patriots, I really like a lot of the stuff they did in the offseason. I think Drake May is a baller. I think he's going to continue to improve. And I know you, even though you are the president of the Mike Vrabel Hate Club, you know, I think he's a good coach who gets more out of lesser rosters than most coaches through sheer will. And I think they'll get back to basics. And you know, I think that they are probably like a 9-win team, and but it's not enough to touch the Bills, who, as you point out, are retooling. They have the best quarterback in the division by a country mile. You know, look for the Bills to win 12 games and easily, you know, shoot into the postseason as one of the top couple seeds in the AFC.
Yeah, and I've got something that I want to read also too from Fantasy Football Draftology 2025. One of the features that we have in here also is, and this one's from page 14, top 10 NFL players on the spot in 2025. The guy that I have number two on the list is Keon Coleman. And here's what I had to say about him. He may have been a bit harsh, albeit in an admirable way, in describing his rookie season as quote unquote trash. But the performance in 2025 does need to be more even in order to help the Bills finally break through to the Super Bowl. His yards per catch was elite, 19.2, but his catch percentage of 50.9 needs work. So that's a guy where, again, when I'm looking at the whole division, this is the guy that's on the spot the most, because that's the thing. I mean, if he can be in there and help take this thing, essentially help fulfill the role of what they used to get a couple of years ago from Stephon Diggs. If he can come in there and play at that level, then there may be no stopping the Bills. Although, again, you know, like the Ravens, guilty until proven innocent in January and February, but he's the guy that I'm looking at the most in this division to see, because I think his contributions will dictate what the ceiling happens to be for the Bills.
That's good analysis on your part. I mean,
Thank you.
again, he had an okay rookie season. Again, stressing the word rookie. Sometimes we expect too much out of them. If he should be spending the he, I hope he spent the entire offseason and every minute when he's not on the field, and, you know, with the jugs machine, because if he can, as you've pointed out, improve the percentages of catches made, he'll be a real weapon. Now, will he be a Stephon Diggs? I don't know that his ceiling is that high, but it doesn't have to be when you have Josh Allen. You know, again, I think that's astute on your part. I think that he could really be a difference maker for them, in the playoffs.
Thank you. And I appreciate you putting over my research here and my analysis. I would just say at the
He's solid,
FDA.
I gotta tell you.
Oh,
I
thank
mean
you. Thank you. And, you know, while I'm at it here, I will say at the FDH Lounge, again, where nothing is off topic, we try to apply that to as many different topics as humanly possible. And I'll just touch on another one here briefly. And that is a little known piece of research that we did about the Big Beautiful Bill. What's buried in there? That if you were a cover band for the Cult, okay, you are now prohibited from playing She Sells Sanctuary because that is deemed to be a subversive song now, Chris. So that's something most people don't know.
Sure.
Love the way you solved that
okay.
one. yeah, in looking at this division, when we talked about the NFC South, I kind of teased a little bit of what my Patriots analysis was going to be, because talking about the Saints here, that like step one beyond the obvious tank that they're in is to get a quarterback next year, whether it is the kid from LSU, whether they get really lucky and it ends up being Arch Manning, whatever the case may be. But then they're going to be in the same spot that the Patriots were a year ago with Drake May, where you have a roster where it may not have too many holes on it. And that's the weird thing about the Saints roster right now, is that they've been stars and scrubs for a long, long, long time, largely because of the cap issues that ensued when Drew Brees and some of the other big name players were there. They're less of a stars and scrubs team than they used to be, but the roster reminds me of what the Patriots were a year ago, where you had merely cromulent players in those roles, but nobody that was like really necessarily, you know, anything above just beyond filling a hole by the most marginal of amounts here. But what the Patriots have done, they've had a churn this past offseason where they've really continued to upgrade those spots here. And I look at their roster. We've got the team holes, remaining team needs, also on page 17 of Fantasy Football Draftology 2025. I've got the Patriots at this point as only needing an offensive guard, which is like unheard of. If you've only got like one need on your roster, I mean, it's generally thought to be if you have two or three or whatever that you've done tremendous. But what the Patriots have done over the course of the last couple of off seasons, last year getting it to where they didn't have a lot of holes, but again, like I said, not really surpassing that margin by much. But 21 out of the 22 spots this year are filled with players that are at least solid, and in some cases much better than that, like Drake May.
The roster, they brought in a solid coaching staff, and I think the big issue for them will be just, you know, the depth. I think you're right that they've pulled in some great pieces, but I think they're still lacking that depth. And if they get some injuries, they're going to struggle in some places. You know, that's the only sort of caveat on the Patriots. If they stay healthy, I have them as a playoff team if they stay healthy.
Well, and here's the thing, too. A lot of the surface-level analysis out there, there's a lot of surface-level analysis that will place the Dolphins still above the Patriots. Let me read you off what I have as their needs, okay? Keeping in mind, spoiler alert, that when I say defensive back, that means cornerback and safety. When I say linebacker, that means inside and outside. Here's my needs for the Dolphins. Offensive tackle, defensive back, linebacker, tight end, wide receiver, center. I mean, that's compare and contrast that to where the Patriots are right now with their roster building. Why Chris Greer doesn't get more grief from the media and from the football intelligentsia, I'll never know, because this guy is just, he is singularly unimpressive. He makes some flashy moves here and there, but that's about it. There's no substance to what he does in team building.
I mean, you're right. I mean, Tyreek Hill was a flashy move, right? Mm-hmm. And now you've got a guy who's going to probably be a malcontent this year. And so with those numbers of needs, their depth is also, problematic. I do like some of the additions that they've made in terms of like, running back. I think they've stumbled into some folks. And, who's the kid I'm thinking of, the running back? He's a rookie.
I love these pop quizzes in real time. I know, yeah, right? I know who you mean.
The rookie running.
I think that's who they wanted to be the starter. Are you talking about Ollie Gordon?
Yes, Ollie Gordon. That's it. Yeah. Out of Oklahoma State. Yeah. I really like what we see. I watched a little bit of a preseason game, I read up a little bit on him, and really, I think he's a guy I think could end up better in that system than Wright for them. So that can end up being a sneaky good acquisition, and I'm pretty sure he was a UDFA. I didn't understand the Minka Fitzpatrick acquisition at all.
No. F that guy.
I don't think they got better. He's getting long in the tooth.
Right.
And after he, you know, when he doesn't have Nick Chubb's knee to destroy, right, you know, what cheap value is prick he bringing to you?
Yeah.
You know, other than a cheap shot artist, what can the guy do for you? He's another year older and getting in towards the end of his career. So I found that one to be a really strange trade.
It's one thing to like have a bad team, but you trade for Fitzpatrick and it's like, are you trying to dip into the Jimmy Haslam handbook of trying to make me actively hate a team that I'm rooting for? Like, come on, man. Like, do the Dolphins have to be unlikable on top of being bad? Like, this, I don't understand that part here, you know, but In looking at the division here, so we've both got New England slotted second here, which is a little bit of an upset, perhaps, because I think we're going out on a limb there. I don't think there's a lot of people that would necessarily agree with us. I think they're a playoff caliber team. Do you?
Yeah, I do. I think I think they're absolutely going to be, competing for a wild card at the end. Like I said, as long as Drake May continues to develop, and their running game is going to be fine. Right. So, I like the direction they're going in. They've got some nice young defensive pieces. We know Vrabel will have them hard, tough, and focused. So, no, I'm with you. I know a lot of the projections have them around 8 wins. I'm giving them a little bit of a boost and thinking 9 wins.
Yeah. I think they're a playoff caliber team as well. Not enough to catch Buffalo, but again, at the rate they're going.
And it's such an indictment on the Jets quarterback situation, because I like a lot of those Jets defensive pieces, right? Mm-hmm. I like the wide receiver group. Like I want to believe that the Jets can be something, but I just don't believe in Justin Fields, and I don't see them being good enough to be able to overtake the Patriots this year.
Well, and the way I look at it is I'm more of a believer in Fields. Believe it or not, I was more of a believer in Fields than I was in Stroud when he came out of Ohio State. And that's the thing where, again, Stroud has really proved me wrong. Fields, I kind of blame a lot of that on the Bears system and about that just being an awful situation there. But again,
hasn't looked good this preseason. Like,
well, and but that's the thing, though. Much like Sam Darnold, who was ruined by the Jets, it's possible to get ruined to the point where you can't come back. Now, Darnold did last year in Minnesota, although you remember when we did the divisional previews, I raised that as a question. Is Darnold too far gone from what he's been through already? Turns out he wasn't. That's the question about Fields. Has he been too ruined by the Bears and by the weird thing with the Steelers last year, Tomlin putting him in, taking him out, whatever that was all about, So I don't know. I mean, I think it's kind of a goofy situation here, because if they weren't going to try and address the quarterback situation in any kind of a way in the offseason, like they did the in-between thing, right? Like the Saints, the Colts, they're committing to their course of action. And I think it's a little weird with the Jets. The only thing I can figure is that the Jets have a better all-around roster than the Colts and the Saints. Maybe not much better than the Colts, but a little bit better. And maybe they just figured we don't want to outright tank when the rest of the roster is as good as it is. But it was a weird in-between kind of a thing here. We're not going to go for one of the premium guys on the market, and we're not going to tank to get a premium guy for next year. It was weird in that sense. I'll give you that.
Yeah. I think the Jets are a lot like the Browns in terms of cultural no man's land, right?
Right, right.
They can't have another season of quote-unquote tanking, right? You've got good players on the roster, mm-hmm. good veterans, and you can't go to them and say, listen, we're going to suck this year so we can get a quarterback that'll be a rookie next year, and so we'll have a couple years of growing with him. So don't worry, in 2028, we're going to be good. You have to establish winning, and we'll talk about the Browns in another segment, but I view the Jets in the same way. So I do understand it. Like their roster is too good to be like, well, we're going to tank for a quarterback.
Right.
It wasn't in the cards. I mean, you just can't do that. You're trying to create a culture of winning and stop the death spiral of the being a sort of loser franchise that permeates, and you have to try to win games. So I understand what they did. Mm-hmm. I just don't believe in the guy they chose to try to do that with.
Yeah, it is a very interesting spot that they were in, and trying to get off to a good start under Aaron Glenn, where I guess I agree with what you're saying there, because even though they sort of chose the in-between route, and I a lot of times I don't believe that the in-between route pays off. You should choose a direction either way. But this is a thing where, like, if Fields falls apart or if he gets hurt or whatever, then you can look the veterans in the locker room in the eye and say, hey, we tried to go for it for this year with somebody that we thought could be good enough in the situation. So if it ends up going south, and believe me, the only reason I don't have them in last place is because I think the Dolphins are going to be in a collapse. I don't think the Jets are going to be too far in front of them. But yeah, I mean, that is a thing where, again, like I said, though, in my analysis of them, I mean, if you're wrong about Fields, and if I'm, and I guess I would be somewhat wrong too, because I'm cautiously pessimistic on him. I mean, if we're wrong about him, they could steal a wild card spot.
You mean the roster's good enough, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
You know, Drake May doesn't take the leap. You know, the roster is good enough. If Fields somehow figures it out, you're right. They could. Again, I don't see it though. So that's what I'm hedging. That's where I'm placing my wager, that he's not good enough to get them there.
Here's the thing though, Chris, we haven't gotten to these other divisions yet, but the AFC South, that looks like a one playoff team division. Clearly the North very well could be, and the West is just going to beat each other up. So for the East to get three teams, it's possible based on, you know, based on the schedule, because again, the West is going to be such a meat grinder this year. So it's not necessarily either or between the Patriots and the Jets. It probably is, but it's not necessarily the case.
Yeah, and you're right. It's possible, you know, because of record, not necessarily how good they are, because the North will be the meat grinder it always is. The AFC South will be generally just terrible, and they should probably have one team. So it's a valid point on your end. I mean, they could end up with three, but I still think they're more likely to be a two team division.
Yeah. And don't get me wrong, I think that's the case as well, but I'm just saying it could go the other way if the Jets step up here. So we'll see how that plays out. The AFC East is going to be very interesting. And I guess my bottom line on this is that for about the first two decades of the 21st century, you had the Patriots basically winning this division by default. In the last several years, it's been the Bills. And what's very interesting as you and I look at this here is the trajectory moving forward. We're not there yet, but possibly by 2026, we could be looking at a situation where the two dominant teams in the division, each of whom ruled the division for a specific period of time, could be running neck and neck with each other for many years to come. That would be interesting.
It'll certainly come to pass if Drake May continues to progress as a young quarterback.
Yes, yes. And he has definitely broken the North Carolina curse in the NFL, which is the only question that I have about him.
So far, so good. We'll see.
Yeah, yeah. He looked really good last year. So we'll see how that plays out. But again, thank you, Chris, for being a part of our 2025 AFC East preview here. Thank you, everybody, for checking that out on the FDH Lounge. And when we come back at you next time, it'll be the AFC North.